Hello, I'm Ruth Morton, an IT Pro Advisor at Microsoft Canada. Welcome to the IT Manager Podcast, a monthly audio information series designed to provide a fresh perspective on the latest IT trends and insight on how you can leverage technology to further drive business value. I invite you to visit microsoft.ca/ITpodcast for supplementary resources, case studies, and other podcast episodes. Across a wide spectrum of industries in Canada, businesses look to IT managers to provide them with technology tools to make it easier to find information, improve security and compliance, as well as simplify how people work together, all while reducing the cost of computing, of course. Today, Canadian organizations are making the strategic decision to achieve these benefits by adopting Windows Vista. But what do IT managers need to think about before deploying Vista to ensure a smooth migration? I am joined by Robert Geller, Windows Client Product Manager at Microsoft Canada, and Warren Chow, Senior Associate at the Strategic Council. We will discuss common Vista deployment myths, tools that are available today, and best practices on how to ensure a smooth deployment to Vista. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Warren, let's start with you. For our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the Strategic Council and about what you do?
Well, the place where people probably recognize the name most is during election time. So Strategic Council pops up a lot in the Globe and Mail and other papers doing the political polling. But as far as myself, I run the IT research function there via IDC, where I was running software research in the Canadian market, and a Gartner division in New York. Right now, we do things like measuring adoption of various platforms, usability, user focus groups, and so on.
So, Warren, can you tell us a little bit about what the adoption for Vista has been like?
I think it's been very strong. I know there's a lot in the press around relative numbers or absolute numbers trying to compare Vista to other introductions. But I think if you look at the context of the numbers, especially around the complexity in people's environments, and you look at the numbers pre the first service pack being released, they're actually very, very strong. We really don't see any impediments in large organizations to widespread deployment, but everyone's in a pattern leading up to that. In smaller organizations, I think that in the course of the discussion we'll probably come up with a lot of perceptions that people have, but I think as well, in the course of the discussion, we'd see that a lot of things are taking place where if people took a deeper look at it, the deployment would really ramp up very quickly.
Okay, and Rob, what are you seeing?
When you think about adoption, it's really twofold. One is sort of sales, so who's actually buying the product, and the other is actually who's actually implementing the product. So, you know, when you think of it from a sales perspective, Windows Vista is the fastest selling operating system in Microsoft's history, with over 60 million licenses sold worldwide. And I think it's very tempting to say, well, that's because the majority of those PCs are shipped with Windows Vista on it. But actually, when you look at some of the volume licensing information, we're actually finding that our enterprise agreements and our software assurance agreements are actually renewing at a 70% rate, which is a historic highs for the Windows business. As well, new agreements are growing 20% year over year. So organizations are starting to understand the business value that these products provide for them, and they're choosing Windows Vista as the offering of choice.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, in our tracking programs for basic IT market research in the Canadian market, and I think this would be similar from other firms as well, what we've seen around the introduction of Vista was quite unique in terms of large organizations indicating adoption even before the OS had been introduced. Like those numbers were, you know, at record levels. We'd never seen anything like it for other OSs.
Really? That's quite interesting.
Yeah, when you think of, again, going back to the notion of early adopters, it's important to think about adoption or deployment as not something that just happens overnight. There is a somewhat lengthy process that organizations need to go through to actually ensure that their image and end users are trained adequately to get the most from a new release. And so that time frame can range anywhere from 3 to 18 months for an organization. We are seeing, though, that as a result of some early testing that organizations have been doing, there's a number of large organizations that are choosing to deploy Windows Vista across their entire organization. So examples such as Infosys, which is deploying 20,000 seats by December of 2007, or Tata Consulting and Citibank, one of the largest financial services organizations in the world, Continental Airlines, the fifth largest airline in the world. They're deploying 10,000 seats across their organization. More locally in Canada, we're seeing some tremendous early adoption from companies such as Prime Restaurants, which runs a set of franchises such as Eastside Mario's and Casey's, The Source by Circuit City, Toronto District School Board, as well as PCL, which is a large construction organization. And that's really a result of some early testing that they did with the operating system They've built their image, they put it out to a set of test users, and now they're going to roll it out across their entire organization.
So we're also hearing a lot of myths out there. I get to talk to a lot of different people about different technologies, including Vista, and I'm hearing a lot of misconceptions out there in the marketplace. First and foremost, one I hear is that Windows XP, especially SP2, is, you know, it's good enough for my business. What do I need to deploy Vista for? You know, Rob, can you talk a bit about why business would want to go to Vista?
Yes, certainly. The information we have is that most of IT understands that Windows Vista is available today, and they understand it is fundamentally different from XP, but they're not really clear why. And when you want to sort of wrap your head around the why question, it really is in a couple of key pillars. So the first one is in finding and using information. And so really with Windows Vista, we've provided pervasive search. So you can really search virtually anywhere from any window within Windows, which means that whether you're looking for a printer in the control panel or a document or an email from a certain person on a certain date or a certain file type, as an example. So in the area of finding and using information, IDC, a third-party research organization, has actually found that Windows Vista reduces search time by 42% and reduces unsuccessful searches by 15%. The other key area where there's even changes between XP and Vista is in the area of mobile workers. And so the trend towards mobile laptops and increasing trend to a dispersed workforce, we're really enabling workers to really work together better. So features such as meeting space, which allows individuals to create a virtual working session with each other, where they could very easily share information or work on documents together. Also, the ability to connect to network is greatly increased. Also, with the benefits of mobile workers, there's also some downside, and that downside is really in the area of data protection. So we've ensured that in the event that a PC is lost or stolen, there's new data protection technologies that can ensure that that data remains secure for the organization.
So another big myth that I'm always hearing is about Vista, and will it save my business money in the long run? So Rob, maybe you can speak a bit to that.
I think it's incumbent on Microsoft to really help organizations understand how they can reduce their costs. And some of the studies we've done around desktop total cost of ownership indicate that when you factor in the hardware and the software costs in terms of the total cost of a desktop, that's actually only about 30% of the total cost. The larger cost is really in the area of labor. And any means that Microsoft can reduce that labor provides a significant advantage to the bottom line of any organization. And so straight out of the box with Windows Vista Enterprise, there's some key features that really reduce that labor component. So things such as security capabilities, which ensure that a PC will run at a more healthy state over a longer period of time. Less downtime for the user, as well as less work for the IT staff. Desktop engineering is another great way, just out of the box, that Windows Vista can provide significant cost improvements. With Windows Vista, through an image format called WIM, or Windows Image Formatting, you can get down to a single image, which is very important because historically, it's taken a lot of time for an IT implementer to actually create an image, and in some cases, that could be an IT implementer's full-time job. There's been estimates that creating a single image costs upwards of $500,000 per image. A recent white paper that we've released actually indicates that just through the features alone available in Windows Vista Enterprise, that could be a savings of $251 per PC. Next, you get into the area of sort of best practices and infrastructure, and here we're talking more about the ability to actually deploy an operating system, a managed operating system throughout the entire organization using deployment capabilities such as SMS and Active Directory. And in this area, our findings actually indicate that you can save upwards of $236 per PC. So now we're starting to get into the area of $500 per PC as a cost savings. And finally, by using technology called the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack for Software Assurance, or MDOP, there's some capabilities in there that can actually further reduce the cost of managing a Windows environment by $118. And so overall, the total decrease in cost is 14% versus XP, which is a fundamental and significant amount of money, totaling $605 per PC.
Wow, that's great. Warren, has your research found that the people that have adopted Vista are seeing these cost savings?
Saving money is actually a very interesting question in research terms, because what we find is that in the absence of detailed analysis, if you ask someone a question like that, they'll fall back to personal experience. It can be hard in the absence of that analysis to actually see the money savings that you get from better manageability, easier administration, security manageability, or, you know, even less risk. So, you know, in terms of will it save me money, yes, people who are deploying it, when they have type of IT environment or IT infrastructure that'll benefit from improved manageability, improved administration, improved security, for sure, they're saving money. In terms of people who haven't deployed it, I think they're the ones that most often question, will it save me money?
So you recommend that the organizations do a cost-benefit analysis or do a pilot to see?
Well, you know, here's one of the problems that, especially when you get into a smaller scale of company, the ability to do that cost-benefit analysis isn't always there. Very often, that test deployment is the best cost-benefit analysis of all.
Yeah.
If an organization wants to know how they can reduce costs by implementing Windows Vista in their organization, there's a lot of research and guidance available at microsoft.ca/technet. If you just go to desktop deployment, there are white papers both from Microsoft and third parties, which can actually help them understand where the areas of savings are and really what sort of the low-hanging fruit are as far as tackling the cost component of a Windows desktop.
Okay, so that brings me to the next myth that I'm hearing a lot about is, you know, that deployment is quite difficult. Well, let's ask, is deployment difficult?
The challenges around desktop deployment vary depending on the size of the organization. For a smaller organization, it may be a relatively straightforward operating system plus applications. However, they may not necessarily have the man hours to devote to a deployment. At a larger scale organization, perhaps there's a couple thousand, 2,000, 3,000 applications they actually have to test. And so what we've done with some of the tools and technologies is provide the best guidance depending on the needs. And so there's a number of free tools available at TechNet, such as the Business Desktop Deployment Toolkit, which is a solution accelerator, which provides scripts and a complete lifecycle management roadmap to help an organization move successfully to a new desktop. The other way in which we're making deployment easier is by really addressing the other two key areas, so application compatibility and hardware compatibility. There is a myth that hardware compatibility is not available for Windows Vista. And so what we do is provide a free tool. We can actually go out and identify which applications are running throughout the organization and help the IT implementer prioritize those applications. And so the report that IT gets back provide guidance from Microsoft, provide guidance from the ISVs themselves, and also provide guidance from the community to identify some quick fixes on an application to ensure that it does work properly with Windows Vista. In the area of hardware compatibility, there's another free tool that can actually go out and assess the hardware capabilities throughout the organization. And so again, identifying perhaps if a PC requires some extra RAM, or perhaps if they want to take advantage of capabilities such as Aero, perhaps a PC may require a new graphics card. And finally, I strongly encourage organizations to make use of partners in the area of making deployments easier. There's a number of partners that focus on different areas, such as end user training, infrastructure analysis, building or deploying an image. And these organizations can very quickly help companies to understand the steps to go from where they are today to an actual deployment.
Where would you find a partner?
If you go to the Microsoft.ca website, there's a very thorough list of partners there.
And do they have lists of partners that have already worked with Vista and Vista deployments? Are they listed by area?
Yeah, there are some what we consider in the Microsoft world a area of specialization. And so there are two specializations that focus on deployment. One is the Windows Vista Desktop Deployment Specialization, as well as the Office Deployment Specialization. And so we encourage customers to leverage the capabilities of these partners where possible.
What have you seen about deployments and those of Warren, the people that have organizations that have already deployed or are thinking about deploying? Is there any research on how difficult the deployment has been or how easy compared to other past operating system deployments?
Well, if you look at the timeline of how things are developing, the research is actually somewhat out of date. And I don't mean that it's bad research, but I mean it's out of date in the sense that there's been a lot of development on certain fronts that have been causing people problems. So let's say in things like application compatibility for a larger organization, well, we know that Microsoft's issued a lot of remediations and that, you know, that at this point in time is a lot better than it was, let's say, at X point time in the past for Vista. There's things like device compatibility. And so that's not just Microsoft, but also third parties working with Microsoft to provide the drivers for those. So that's a lot easier as well. If you look at the tools that Microsoft has for enabling Vista deployment, the tool set is actually a lot stronger than it's ever been. So, you know, in those terms, just parsing out where the difficulty lies, I think you'll find a portion where people are going to say, well, actually, no, it's not bad at all. Actually, it's quite good. And we see a lot of tools available for us to help with deployment. And then you'll find another area, like around the applications and devices, where things are really improving. If you ask people, well, what was your opinion, you know, a year and a half ago versus your opinion now, you see a big difference in the data sets.
Yeah, to Warren's point, I mean, we've really turned the corner on application compatibility Today, we're very proud to say that we've identified the top 70 applications that are blocking the biggest deployments. And we've worked with those ISVs to remediate those applications. And so the top 70 blockers are now no longer blockers. So organizations are using, say, it's a VPN client or an antivirus client, now have full compatibility with Windows Vista. If organizations are having difficulty understanding whether or not their applications are compatible, the first piece of guidance I give them is go investigate. Run the free tools available at TechNet to see what the results will show them.
One of the comments that I get back a lot when I talk to people about Windows Vista is, oh, well, you know, Windows Vista is not compatible with my, you know, HP printer, my older HP printer or something. What's happening around the whole driver issue with Windows Vista? Can you speak to that a bit?
That's a great question. This year actually marks a tremendous milestone for Windows operating system, which is that this year there'll be over 1 billion users worldwide using Windows. And as a result of that, you have to think about the various and diverse ways in which people use their PCs and types of devices that are actually attached to those PCs. And so when you think about Windows Vista, you really have to think about a lot about backward compatibility to a myriad of different types of devices. And so what we've done is worked with hardware vendors to ensure that we have a broad range of device drivers available that support Windows Vista. So we're very proud to say that there's over 2.2 million device drivers that are supported with Windows Vista. And actually, there's 14,000 device drivers alone that ship in Windows Vista. But then again, there's another 26,000 drivers available via Windows Update. And that really is a bit of a game changer, because by providing the capabilities of Windows Update, it's a lot easier for hardware vendors and other parts of the ecosystem to provide end users with updates to their own drivers or capabilities.
So I know that Microsoft has developed a number of tools to help with deployment. And Rob, maybe you can touch on a few of those and some of the details.
Yeah, in addition to the three tools we've already talked about, so the Business Desktop Deployment Solution Accelerator and the Application Compatibility Toolkit and the Hardware Assessment Advisor, there's some other tools that are available to help organizations rapidly deploy a new operating system. And so one of them is in the area of the Office Productivity Suite. A lot of organizations will choose to refresh both the operating system and the productivity tool. So in this case, Office 2007. And the nature of Office 2007 is such that in some rare cases, macros may not work between the various versions. And so it's important, especially in the financial services area, that end users have the reassurance that their macros are working properly. And so there's a tool called the Office Migration Planning Manager, which can, again, provide the type of guidance that organizations need to assess the various documents that they do want to port over to Windows Vista and ensure that there is functionality between the prior version of Office, be it Office 2003 or a prior version, and Office 2007. Another tool I want to bring to your attention is held within the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack for Software Assurance, or MDOP. And this is a tool called SoftGrid. Microsoft SoftGrid actually allows organizations to change the way in which they build their images. This is a game changer, because what it does is it allows them to separate the application layer from the OS layer. So previously, when an organization was creating an image, it would include the OS and maybe VPN client and security client, plus a set of applications dependent on hardware or users. In this case, by separating it using SoftGrid, all you're building is your very thin, lightweight OS image, and then having all your applications stream in via server. The benefits to that is, if you want to make a change to an application, you make it at the server level, not the image layer, which means that you can have a single image across the organization, and end users can always be having the latest versions of applications.
I've actually done some reading on SoftGrid, because it's a very exciting new tool. And there was a company out in the U.S., Alamance Medical Center, that used SoftGrid because they had a number of different client applications that used different versions of Java. And what they were finding is they were having to either buy, you know, two machines or three machines, depending on for one person, or they jerry-rigged a solution, which when it didn't work, caused a lot of calls into the help desk. So with SoftGrid, what they were able to do was package up the applications and have them running on the one machine, but because they're not installed, there's no compatibility issues with the different versions of Java, and that's just one example. But that's a really, really exciting tool.
Yeah, it can certainly save organizations a lot of time by not having to go through the regression process to ensure that applications are working properly or not working properly with each other. Because they are installed virtually into a virtual registry, you don't have to worry about that interoperability.
One of the great benefits around Vista, and we've touched on this a little bit, is security. IT pros can turn on different security settings, but how do they decide what to turn on and off for their businesses? How do they make those decisions?
If you go to that, I think it's best to start at the highest level. So basic things like the organization's propensity for risk or the sensitivity of its data or its information. So if you start there and you look at what sort of damage your organization can have with a data breach or a security breach, then I think you can start looking at some very interesting stats. If you look at the research coming out of anybody, Gartner, IDC, us, it doesn't really matter. If you look at a lot of that, the relative nature of risks, I think over the past years, has shifted quite significantly toward internal breach of security. And that's not necessarily something that was on purpose. It's something that can happen by accident. So now we're looking at things like user behavior, right? And for IT, when you talk about users, we're starting to talk about things that go into the realm of the unknown. Like, what is a user going to do? Did Joe over in finance decide to take home a whole bunch of customer account information to work on it overnight? And what sort of security risk does that pose? Or did Ted decide to download a whole bunch of stuff onto a stick? And, well, he lost the stick. So I think that one of the big benefits of Vista is that for IT, you have an ability to exercise an amount of control over the unknown by setting policy. So in the context of what the risk propensity for your organization is or the sensitivity of the data, you can do things to set policy and enforce an adherence to a known state and therefore reduce your exposure to risk in that way.
Okay, that's great. And do you have anything else to add, Rob?
To Warren's points, I think really when you think about Windows Vista and security, you really have to think about it as a layered approach. And what we've done is really addressed the four key layers, which are the information layer, identity and access, you know, mitigating things such as threats and vulnerabilities, and just overall the fundamentally more secure operating system. Some examples around information, as Warren pointed out, is the ability to really lock down USBs, SD cards, sort of external read-write devices so that information cannot be copied off a PC. But it also goes to technologies such as BitLocker, which again is full-volume encryption, so that even if that entire PC is lost or stolen, the likelihood of that data getting out into the public is greatly reduced. In 2005, actually, there was over 600,000 laptops lost or stolen in the United States. And what's on those PCs? You have things like intellectual property, social security numbers, credit cards, etc. That's a lot of information that you really don't want to get out into the public. Thinking through identity and access, you have capabilities such as stronger user authentication, and the plumbing that enables that kind of authentication is built into the operating system. So the simplicity of invoking such as a smart card is a lot simpler. And so, again, by taking this layered approach, we've really changed the way in which we secure the operating system to think more about both end users and threats from outside of the organization that can be posed on the PC.
Now, I believe that Windows Vista SP1 is coming out shortly, and this is another bit of a myth in that some companies are waiting until SP1 has come out to do their deployment or even start their testing or their pilot. And I know in the past that as a consultant, when I was doing deployments, I would sometimes make that recommendation to my clients, but I understand that that's not the case with Vista SP1. Rob, do you want to speak a bit about what SP1 is all about?
The feedback around waiting for Service Pack 1 is primarily resides in the changes we made around Windows XP, Service Pack 1 and Service Pack 2, and some of the fundamental changes we made between those two releases. And as a result, now organizations have perception that they do need to wait for a Service Pack before rolling out a new operating system. It's very important that organizations understand that Windows Vista Service Pack 1 isn't all about providing new features.
Okay, so what is in SP1?
Windows Vista Service Pack 1 is really about providing all the updates that have been provided previously via Windows Update, plus some performance improvements, as well as some additions in a couple of key areas. So, for example, emerging standards. There's a new technology for new flash devices called XFAT. And so, in order to make use of that capability, we're now making that available through Service Pack 1. As well, you may have noticed if you're using Windows Vista today that there's a bit of a lag from the time that you copy a set of files to the time that actually pastes, because it does a calculation to understand the size of that file. And so that experience has been greatly improved.
Okay, so what you're saying is there's no new features, but there's enhancements so that a company, if they're doing some piloting or testing right now, the actual architecture of Windows Vista and the way it functions and the way it works is going to be the same so they can just build on their current test plan? Is that
That's exactly
fair?
Right. Again, I mean, recognizing the amount of time takes for a typical organization to go ahead and deploy, we strongly encourage organizations to make sure that they are doing the analysis today. Make sure that you understand which applications are running in the environment. Make sure you understand that the hardware capabilities within the environment. So regardless of which version of Windows Vista, whether it is Windows Vista as it is today, or Service Pack 1, the organization can very quickly roll out whichever release they choose to perform. Our guidance is that customers that are currently evaluating and deploying Windows Vista should really continue their deployment. There's really no need to stop that and wait for Service Pack 1 because, again, all those updates will be available via Windows Update or a deployment through IT if the organization so chooses. And if you are waiting for Service Pack 1, the guidance is to do your testing today. Make sure you understand your environment. Make sure you have the right infrastructure in place so you can take advantage of technologies such as SMS and Active Directory to very quickly push out updates to end users.
And when is SP1 available?
The time frame is Q1 of 2008.
Okay, great. Finally, if IT pros want to learn more about Windows Vista deployment tips and tricks, where can they go?
One of the areas we haven't probably talked about enough over this podcast, and that's leveraging the capabilities of partners bring to organizations. At Microsoft, we're very fortunate to have a very diverse and strong partner ecosystem. And these partners can come in and do a number of different tasks for you. They can assess your organization's readiness, whether it's an infrastructure assessment for deployment, or perhaps it's teaching end users how to use the technology, or perhaps it's helping you to build the image. In fact, some organizations already have a free benefit as part of software assurance called Desktop Deployment Planning Services. And this is a service, it's a 1, 3, 5, or 10-day assessment that an organization can bring a partner in, and the partner can actually build a plan for that customer on how to actually go ahead and implement. And that plan would include potentially a proof of concept, very specific timelines, as well as a cost understanding of deploying, whether it be Windows Vista or actually Office 2007 as well.
And if they're going to do it internally or in-house?
One of the richest wealths of content and guidance is available at microsoft.save/technet. And if you just go look on the left navigation bar there, you'll notice that there's a link for desktop deployment. And that is probably the best source for things such as the various tools we've talked about, so the Application Compatibility Toolkit, the Hardware Assessment Advisor, the Business Desktop Deployment Tool. There's also scripts, webcasts, live events. I strongly encourage users to go there because there really is a wealth of great content there. One of the questions I get a lot is, how can I help my end users, right? How can I ensure that aside from all the IT implementation and testing that needs to be done, how can I ensure that my users are ready? And so if you go to a website, Windows Vista TNT, so tips and tricks, TNT.com, you will find a wealth of end user content located there. As well, if you go to Office Online for the Office products, you'll find a ton of great content there around teaching end users how to use the new productivity suites.
Fantastic. Any last words, Warren?
You know what? We were doing a group not too long ago, and it had really nothing to do with Vista, but Vista came up. And as far as tips and tricks goes, you know, once people start talking about it, and then you got people who haven't really deployed or are looking at deployment, and you got people who have done a test deployment or a larger deployment, tips and tricks start flowing, you know, and the questions start flowing. So I would say, you know, get involved in a conversation or get involved in a chat, and you're going to start finding all sorts of tips and tricks.
Yeah, and we have some great user groups across Canada. So if you go off the TechNet website, there's the Microsoft user groups there. There's also a number of KIPS groups across Canada. That's Canadian Information Processing Society. And these are great places to meet other people that are doing different things with IT, including Vista deployments, and to start conversations and start asking and finding out questions. Thanks so much, Rob and Warren. It's been a pleasure speaking with you today, and we appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge and your experiences with us.
Same here.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ruth.
That concludes this episode of the IT Manager Podcast. We hope that what you've heard today helps to clarify what Vista can do for you and for your organization. Let us know what you thought of this episode by posting a comment at microsoft.ca/ITpodcast. where you'll also find supplementary resources and other podcast episodes. Join us again next month for a look at unified communications. Thank you for listening.